الحمد لله الحمد لله المتفرد بالبقاء سبحانه كتب على خلقه الفناء أحمده حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله ثم توفى كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون وقال الله عز وجل كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Infinite and abundant praise and glories for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the everlasting, the independent, the eternal, the one who has created insan, given him a beginning and also given him an end. To the one to whom we all return, and salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama, who taught us how to live a life with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how to die with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how to return to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon him and his noble family and the companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. My dear respected elders, my brothers, my sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all on this blessed, noble day of Jumu'ah in the sacred sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may your intentions and your sincere efforts today become a means for your purification, for your forgiveness, for your salvation and pardon in this dunya and also in the hereafter. This week, Father, from the last time we met like this on Jumu'ah up until today, it has been a very, very taxing week for this community. As you will remember, we lost two particular individuals, the Mamu of Haji Muhammad Azram and the Mamu of Muhammad Lal Hussein. And then shortly after that, we lost a 9-year-old girl, i.e. she returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the qadr and the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. It was a very challenging time for the parents, for the community, for the neighbors. And shortly after, we lost a 19-year-old girl as well, just a few days ago. So it has been a very emotional, very spiritually taxing, and physically taxing week for us as individuals, as parents, as a community, and also as an ummah. If you look throughout the world, there's always something going on and something which really taxes the individual. But throughout these calamities, throughout these difficulties, there's always a silver lining, there's always a lesson for us to learn. Because whilst it may seem that death is the end, it is not the end. It is just a transition from one plane to another. And the important message that I gave to the parents and the siblings and the people who suffered a great loss during this week, including myself, when my pupu passed away, is that it is natural and normal and necessary for us to express our feelings, for you to cry, for you to share that with those that are around you, for you to grieve, for you to be in a state of mourning, for you to be in a state of sorrow. This is a natural phenomenon or natural thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in every single one of us. And if we do not do that, then it will eat us up internally. So we need to be able to express that. And we learned that from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he said, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعَ وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزُنُ وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا. That without a doubt the eyes tear and the heart is in a great suffering and loss and sorrow. It is grieving. But in spite of that, in spite of these tragedies and these calamities, because the Prophet ﷺ had lost his son Ibrahim ﷺ, but in spite of that he said, we will only say that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Undoubtedly we all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You, your life, your children, your family, your siblings, your parents, we all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank Him for the blessings, and we also are patient when He takes away those blessings as well. It's a very important thing to understand that we as human beings, we have to remain patient during these times, these difficult times, and we have to control our tongue. And we do not challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these circumstances. And we say, why Allah? Why me? Why this? Why that? This is a very dangerous statement to make when you are at your weakest point, because this is the entrance for the devil to come in and to attack you and your iman and put doubt in your iman. And it is a very dangerous slope to go down. So this is why in these circumstances, when we are there to reassure our brothers and sisters, we say the greatest words given to us by Allah Azza wa Jal, which is that every single one of us belongs to Allah and every single one of us shall return to Allah, and that your reward for your patience is undoubtedly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your siblings, your children, your family members will be reunited with you on the day of Qiyamah in Jannatul Firdaus if you are patient and steadfast. So express yourself and share your huzn, your sorrow, but also remember you should always be pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however difficult it may be and however painful it may be. So inshallah al-Aziz, in this regard I thought it was apt to discuss maut in general and the importance of it being a reminder for us all, especially for this during this week which has been extremely taxing for us all. So if you look around us, we are surrounded by the beauty of the dunya and everything else in the dunya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. سُجِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ وَحُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ etc. to the end. So we are surrounded by the beauty of the world, the wonder and the majesty of life. If you look in spring, if you look in summer, if you look in the autumn and winter, we have different forms of beauty and majesty all surrounded by us, with the weather and with people, with creation, with life, and all of these things. We are surrounded by life, we are surrounded by beauty. The air gives you life, the plants, they give you a sense of life and beauty, the wildlife, the crops, the food that we eat and consume during different seasons, the environment, your children, your families, all of these remind you of the beauty of life. That you are living and you are surrounded by all of these things which are living. But at the same time, what happens is that because we are so engrossed by the world and by the beauty of the world and the zina of the world, we actually forget that equally at that very same point, whilst we are surrounded by life, we are also surrounded by death. And that is an inevitable thing that we have to come to terms with. It's not something that you can ignore. But the world that we live in wants us to be so absorbed in the dunya, so absorbed in life, in those people that are around us, or the wealth and everything else, that they want you to forget about death. Because they don't want you to prepare for death. They don't want you to think about your demise. They don't want you to think about your return. They don't want you to think about the inevitable thing that will happen to every single one of you, because death does not discriminate, it does not differentiate between the young and the old, between the strong and the weak, between male and female. When your life is up and death has an appointed time, it will come to you. أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. That wherever you are, however you are, when your time has been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, death will come to you, even if you are in a fortress, even if you are under the pyramids, you are hiding somewhere in the vast cosmos and the universes, death will come to you because it has been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you truly want to live, you need to understand that with life comes death. And if you ask those people who have found out that they have cancer, that they have found out they have X amount of time given to them by the doctors, etc., look how they live their lives, and look at how we live our lives in comparison. They maximize every single moment, hour, day, week, because they know they don't have nothing to lose. They have to maximize and do everything that they can. These are the people who will not hold grudges and do all of those things because they know life is too short. Literally, they know that because it's facing them right in front of their faces. But we, because we live a life of delusion. Ya ayyuhal insanu ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. Because we're living a deluded life. We think, oh, it's okay, we still got our 30s and 40s and 50s ahead of us, and 60s and 70s, and then dekhi jaayegi maut, fir sara kuch kar lenge. And this is what we do, we just delay the inevitability. But death does not wait for any particular individual. It is a frightening yet inevitable end and return for every single one of us back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we just simply just look at the statistics, on one side you have double, if not more, 385,000, almost, you know, half a million people, children, babies are born every single day throughout the world. I'm not just talking about Pakistan here, I'm talking about entire world. The entire world, 385,000, those that are recorded, and there will be many that are unrecorded. Minimum, this is how many people are coming, life is coming here onto earth. But at the same time, if you look at the statistics, that 165,000 almost deaths are occurring on a daily basis as well. Every 1.9 seconds, almost every 2 seconds, somebody is passing away, whether they are young, whether they are small, whether they are old, whether they are rich, whether they are poor, whether they are affluent or powerful or weak, whoever they are, somebody at somewhere in the world is passing away. So it's not something that we can deny, it's not something that we can just say, oh, I'll deal with it later and discard it and put it to the side. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that wherever you are, death will come up to you and catch up with you, even if you are in an impregnable fortress. So we know that death is there. It is right behind us at all times, and death just needs the izn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take you, and that's it. You will have nowhere to hide, no second chances, no give me time, no give me 5 minutes, no give me a day or a week to go and worship Allah, to give my sadaqat and khairat, to say sorry to my family and my friends, to ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no second given to you, no chance given to you by death. That's it. So we as Muslims, we understand this reality. We are not living a life of delusion. This has been taught to us by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So we live a life of hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a day to use to worship Him and to recognize Him and to sustain ourselves and our families. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that day. But we also live a life, we also in fear that perhaps this may be my last Jumu'ah, this may be my last Salah, this may be my last day, this may be my last opportunity. And therefore, because you have that, not just at the back of your mind, at the front of your mind, you always try to do that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleasing to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. You try to do that which is right. Every single one of us, when we are in our old age, when we know that our time is up, then we say, I forgive that person. No point having grudge anymore with that person, because you know, you realize you're at the end, you're at the precipice of your own demise. And then you say, okay, now these things are not worth it. Ask a person who's 15, 20, 30 years old, and ask a person who's 60 years old, and you'll see the difference, the stark difference in their behavior, in their character, and what they think are important and necessary, and what isn't important and necessary. So we, live a life of hope, but we also live a life of fear. We live in the present, but we are always, always preparing for our return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we know this is something that we cannot deny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that no self knows where it will earn tomorrow, and no self knows in what land, بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ, in which land it will die, whether it is here or abroad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing and He is all aware. Say, death from which you are fleeing will certainly catch up with you, then you will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knower of the unseen and the visible, and He will inform you about all of those things that you used to do. These are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding you, and the death is mentioned over 200 times in the Quran. So it's not something which is just mentioned once, but again and again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us that reminder, and reminders are there for a very, very powerful and necessary reason, for to wake you up, to make you realize, and to show you the importance of your return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are three core reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions death repeatedly, and this was also imparted to us by the Prophet ﷺ. One of the very best reasons is that there's a greater awareness which is developed within you of death, so that you can live your lives more holistically, more comprehensively, more fully. So you don't leave things and delay things. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٍ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. But you don't delay things and say, oh, I'll do this tomorrow, I'll pray tomorrow, I'll do hajj next year, I'll give my sadaqat and khairat in the following year, or I'll forgive them in 5 years' time or 10 years' time. No. We know, because we've been reminded again and again and again by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to make the most of every single day bestowed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, as Muslims, we should be living holistic lives, wholesome lives, fulfilling lives, beneficial lives, not just for ourselves, for all of those people that are around us. We don't delay, we seize every single opportunity. This is one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it again and again and again. The second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning it in the Quran is that to remind you that death is not just the end. Because people, they say, you only live once, therefore do whatever you want to do here, and that's it, it's the end. No, we know death is not the end. We know this life is not just the only life. We know there is a hereafter. We know there is an afterlife. We know we will be returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know there is a life in the grave. We know there is a life when we return, and the resurrection when we return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be held accountable for every single moment of our adult lives, of all of the things that we said, we did, where we went, and how we behaved, and how we conducted ourselves, and also how we fulfilled our responsibilities. And the third thing, by mentioning death in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps the most important thing here, is reminding you that this life that you have, this opportunity that you have every single day of getting up, of eating, of sleeping, of walking, of talking, of enjoying yourself and arguing and bickering and sex and children and wealth and fame and power, all of these things that you have, don't just think that it's just come out of nowhere. Somebody has given this to you, and everything, there's no such thing as anything free in life. Even the air that we breathe here, the council makes you pay council tax to live here in this particular area. Everything that you pay for, there is a tax, there is a shirt, there is a hukum, there is something contingent, there is something there. Somebody always wants something out of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't just given you life for the sake of giving you life. There are conditions attached, there is a contract that you have made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have the life that you have here in the dunya. And you will be held accountable for that contract, for that promise, for that pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the deen of Islam, with the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which we will get to as well. So we all know we are going to die, it's a fact. But having knowledge of something and then fully believing something and living that reality is something completely else. It's like everybody knew there was a coronavirus, 2.5 years ago. Oh yeah, khair, dekhi jaisi, and we just, it's fine, it's fine. But we knew about it, then we heard about it, then we saw it, then it came to our countries, our homes, our towns, our families, and we lost and we suffered so much, and then it was a different realization entirely. For those people who haven't suffered a loss and family members, it's not the same. But when you suffer and you see that somebody has passed away, it changes your perspective and the paradigms of how you operate and how you believe and how you behave. So yes, we know maut is there, it is written and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it, but we have to live it, we have to realize it, and we have to act upon that, otherwise we will not change, our hal will not change. And this is why Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he mentioned that if a man sees how speedily his death is coming towards him, then he will hate, he will abhor the worldly ambitions. Because if you knew how close your death is, then you wouldn't be wasting your life and your energy and health and everything else just pursuing fame, dunya, wealth and all of these other things. You would actually abhor all of these things and these ambitions that you have, these temporary ambitions that you have, these finite ambitions that you have, and you'll stop admiring the dunya and you'll actually look towards the hereafter and towards the everlasting, towards the eternal, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us as insans, and this is perhaps one of the most crucial verses that we all know. We've all heard it again and again and again. But the problem is, we are very selective as human beings and we only listen to that which we need to and then we leave the rest. What do I mean? Everybody knows this particular verse and everybody recites it. Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. And perhaps every single one of you would have memorized that and know that very, very well. But we don't follow on with the rest of the ayah. And this is a very, very important aspect for us to really engage ourselves with the Qur'an. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Yes, undoubtedly, without an iota of a doubt, every single living thing, every single soul, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are, however you are, shall taste death. You will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ يُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Why do we not look at the rest of the verse where the full picture is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that yes, death is inevitable, death is staring you at the face, it will come to every single one of you, but why is death there? So that you will be given your compensation, your reward, your ajr on the day of Qiyamah. Death is that transition period, that transit, where you will go and return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the work that you have been doing here on the dunya to receive that reward. That reward, or perhaps the opposite of the reward. So he who is drawn away from the fire, فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَا عَنِ النَّارِ وَدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازِ. That person who is drawn away from the fire and admitted to paradise has indeed attained. He is the one who has become successful. Not just in the hereafter in terms of keeping away from the fire, going into Jannah. This is also symbolic to say, don't be drawn to the dunya. Don't be drawn to the dunya and the luxuries of the dunya and all of these and the illusions and the delusions of the dunya. Go be drawn to the paradise. Be drawn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to your salah, to your siyam, to your qiyam, to your ruku, to your sajda, to your zikr, to your azkar, to your tilawa, to your sadaqat and khairat, to your hajj, to your remembrance of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. Be drawn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and indeed you will have attained success. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. What is this life of the world that you have in front of you except the enjoyment of delusion? So please, brothers and sisters, when you hear these verses of كُلُّ نَفْسٍ زَائِقَةُ الْمُوتِ, when you hear about death, don't just say, oh, Allah nimarzi. Think about who created life, who created death, and who is the controller of death, and why that death has been placed, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via that person is reminding you that one day you will also return back to me as well. That minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. Without a doubt you will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a reminder of the power and the majesty and the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which should make you wake up and realize, do I think that I'm in control? Do I think that I need to just enjoy myself? Why am I deluding myself when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing me these signs again and again and again of death and the real life, which is the life of the hereafter? But أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَذَكَّى. That person is truly successful who has remembered and purified himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who remember their death. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, the most sagacious of people, you know, the sage, the people who are really, really wise, and those are those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often, and those people who prepare for their return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us have this kind of hesitation and this fear around death, and we are very quiet. Apart from Allah ni marzi, and apart from, oh, I'm sorry for your loss, that's about it. We don't really discuss and think and dwell and reflect upon death and what it means to you as an individual and how you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death isn't something to be fearful of. You know, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Sahaba ikram, they were not fearful of death. They were happy, they were eager, they were anticipating their return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they wanted their reward, they wanted to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question is, if you are afraid of death, it's probably perhaps because of your actions, your amal, because you know who you are, what you are doing, and you know you can't face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you have done right and you are doing those things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll be eager to run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will welcome death. This is why, what is death to the believers? The death to a believer is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It removes you from the shackles and the prison of the dunya and it takes you to paradise. It takes you to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It takes you to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It takes you to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where you can talk to Allah azza wa jal, where He is happy with you and He is content with you, where you know you are in bliss, in a state of felicity and tranquility. This is what death is for the believers. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even at the time of death, because He allows you even at that point to do tawbah and to istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are truly wise are those who are constantly remembering death and those who are preparing for death and their return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those during their lifetimes, they make sure that they do those actions which will enable them to continue their rewards even after they have passed away by ilmi nafi, by sadaqat al-khayrat, and by having righteous children who pray on their behalf as well, by giving charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for us as Muslims, we welcome death, we expect death, and we prepare for death every single moment of our lives, and it's not something that we are deluded about. And finally, most importantly, as I mentioned, death for us, it's not just a reminder, it's not just something that we fear, but death is a promise that we have made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Promise that we made in alami arwah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a covenant and asked every single one of us from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Alastu bi rabbikum qalu bala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, am I not your Lord? And every single soul said, of course, without a doubt, yes, we testify that indeed you are our Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lest that you should say on the day of resurrection, indeed that we were unaware of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that this is the promise, the contract, the pledge that you made with me. You will recognize me and worship me and follow the messengers that I sent. So do not say that you are unaware, you do not know the terms and conditions of the life that I gave you in order for what you had to do, which is worship me and recognize me. Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu awfu bil uqood wa la man awfa bi ahdihi wattaqa fa inna allaha yuhibbul muttaqin. So fulfill your covenants, fulfill your pledges, and the very first covenant, the contract, the pledge, the promise that we have made is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the first contract that you will be questioned for on the day of Qiyamah, in your grave and also on the day of Qiyamah. How did you fare with your contract? How much did you fulfill your contract? And this is something that we need to ask ourselves in our contract to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Where are we in terms of our iman? Where are we in terms of our belief in the angels, in our fellowship of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, in following the Quran, in believing in the hereafter, and accepting the destiny and the taqdeer given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our salah, in our zakah, in our sawm, in our hajj, in the entirety of our deen of Islam? Where are we? How much have we fulfilled our contract? We are all eager to say, this is what's in my contract to our employer and our family members, etc. You didn't tell me to do this, and this is not written, and I'll argue this and dispute this, and I'll take you to court and do all of these things. Why do we not remember our first and most important contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And who will be there for you on the day of Qiyamah when you are there standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you have broken or not fulfilled your contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And before your death, you also need to realize that you've also got a contract with humanity as well, with your parents, with your children, with your relatives, with your neighbors, with the Muslims that are around you, with the non-Muslims, with your community, with the environment, with the world, with humanity at large. We have a responsibility towards this as well. If we have failed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will also be failing towards our hukukul ibad as well. So remember death, constantly remember death. prepare for death. Remember, it will not discriminate between the young or the old, the rich or the poor. It will come to you wherever you are. Remember that death is a reminder that you belong to Allah and you will return to Allah, that your life is a gift, and don't waste that gift. And every single day that you've been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the most of it and fulfill your covenant, your pledge, your contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, indeed, you will become amongst the losers, not only in the dunya, but the greatest losers in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all.